This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, of course. And that's what you're out there for, to help me talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. I'd like to hear what's happened to you this past week. Have you seen any unusual wildlife? Have you had any encounters? Have you gone fishing, gone crabbing? Have you had any success? What do you think of all the weather that we've had here the last week or so, and has that affected you in headed outdoors? Have you seen any new white-tailed deer fawns roaming around? Have you had any encounters with groundhogs in your garden? You see, you're running the show today. I have in front of me printed commercials that I will read during the commercial break. That's it for my content today. So I'm not going to sit here and read commercials to you. I might share a little bit about what went on this week. But in general, we really need to depend on you to give us a call here and tell us, tell us about your favorite fishing trip. Ask a question about anything fishing, hunting, outdoors related. Put me to the test today. Test my knowledge, since I have nothing going on between my ears, according to Brian. So I need some mental stimulation here today. Challenge me. Ask me a question like, don't make it easy. Like something like, can God make a rock too big for him to lift? Something like that, something challenging. We would, Brian's in there eating. I forgot my snack. Nothing in the truck. I don't even know if I have a dollar for the vending machine. I have to look. But I did talk to a lot of folks this past week. I've been out and about. And where was I yesterday? It's hard to I was in Charles County yesterday, yes, down near Accokeek, and we have a customer down there who owns a butcher shop. He's been in the butcher shop business and doing deer processing since 1972. 42 years, and we started talking about how many deer have you done and how many. And he said, we're a little different than most shops. We don't buy our, sausage mix off the internet and mix it in with. So we make our own seasonings. We have our own proprietary jerky seasonings, for example, and sausage seasoning mixture and that type of thing. And he said, there's a lot of people down here got in the deer cutting business. And he said, we just need to stand out. So we talked about ways for that to happen. But, deer season's not that far away. Quite frankly, it's 6 weeks. About 6 weeks from now, believe it or not. Yes, the archery season opens. So we were talking about that. For his advertisement in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, and he mentioned that one of his meat cutters. He said, "Yeah, the guy I got skins my deer." He said, "He's in such bad shape with Lyme disease that uh, he uh, he's not sure he's going to be able to skin for him this year. I said, you got a tick from a deer that came in here? Yeah, he said, yeah, probably. He said, we get, you know, 1,000 or more deer a year in here. And he said, he got bit, let it go, bit on the leg, let it go. Leg swelled up, finally wound up in the hospital, put him on a course of intravenous IVs. And he said, you know, he let it go so long that now, you know, he's having trouble fighting it. So, you know, that made me think a little bit, too, about all the people who deal with white-tailed deer here in Maryland. You know, we harvest about, in round numbers, 100,000 deer a year. And I would suggest that the bulk of them are taken to a processor somewhere. I mean, you know, when I lived in western Pennsylvania, and you know, we'd skin our own deer, we'd cut them up, and if we needed any special cuts or anything like that, we'd take the carcass to the deer processor. If we didn't feel like dealing with it in our garage, you know, and skinning those deer, we would take the whole thing to a deer processor, and it would. But you never, until the last 20 or so years, heard much about Lyme disease. Maybe 30 years. And now it's, you know, it's endemic in the deer population. You know, the Lyme disease situation is complex. I mean, it involves the larva, it involves white-footed mice, and then it, you know, the different types of larva looking for different types of host. And, you know, in the Howard County management program, for example, and even in Montgomery County, when the deer are brought in that are taken by the hunters and, you know, you got to check them all in. They do a lot of different surveys on those deer, fat content. If it's a doe, they want to find out if it's still nursing or not. If it gave birth to any fawns, they want to find out if it's got ticks, how many ticks, and they check the ears because the ticks tend to go to the ears. They find out how many ticks there are. They age the deer. And general look at the overall health, and all this is written down and put into management reports, because that's why we do a managed hunt, to find out the status of the deer population in the area, the health of the deer population. And we actually had, they have actually had students from different universities come in on these deer studies because, you know, we've got samples to check. You know, we want to check, do a report from whatever university of wherever is doing a deer study on ticks and Lyme disease and things like that, and other things that are done. Well, sometimes we collect samples of feces to send off to some university or something like that, but. I said all that to come back to Lyme disease. Just want you to be careful out there this time of year. If you see a deer in your backyard or crossing the street or something like that, you know, and you're out in the yard, just be careful. And especially check the kids, because, you know, a deer tick is a tiny tick, not like a wood tick or a dog tick where you can, you know, kind of see it crawling along. A deer tick is very small, like the head of a pin. And, you know, if you find that tick and don't care to remove it yourself, make sure you get to, you know, one of these walk-in clinics or something like that, have that tick removed. And, you know, whoever's bitten, make sure you just get on a course of antibiotics right away. So there we go. So we can also take your questions and comments by email this morning if you like. That's at 4:00. I don't know why we launched into Lyme disease. It just happened to strike me to do that. You can email me at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, but it is a threat. It is a threat. Let's talk to Ross in Pasadena.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Ross. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, during this past week or last week, we've had some violent weather.
Yes, we have.
And I'm a sailboat owner, and I'm on my third sailboat, and for the most part, I've been caught in some pretty nasty weather, but my boats are, you know, sealed tight, and mm-hmm. I had a double reef and things like that, and proper safety procedures. But I know a lot of people are out there in small boats, and I've helped some during my time on the bay. And I'd like to just bring up a topic that maybe you could explore more with your audience about what to do, what not to do, when to go out on the bay. The Coast Guard, of course, they issue, you know, small craft advisory.
Right.
But maybe if other people would relate their experiences, and it would help to, you know, possibly save a life. I know this one fellow that was, they found his boat aground, but he wasn't there. Another one, the boat was anchored, and the person died over by the Patapsco. So I think it would be a good thing if people would call in and talk about what to do.
Sure.
I usually, what I do, you certainly monitor the weather, and now we have our cell phones in addition to our boat radios. And
isn't it the easiest thing in the world now? You know, to I mean, you can look on your cell phone and see which way the storm is coming. I mean, you can see the weather pattern coming. It's, you know, relatively easy to get out of the way. Why risk it?
Right. And I know my boats, obviously now with the cell phones, I don't have to do it. But, I mean, our radios are on and channel 16, and we let the Coast Guard know exactly where we are.
Sure.
And drop the proper anchor and things like that.
But right.
I think it would be a good thing if.
Well, we've talked about water safety here, and we've read some tips from folks from like Boat US and that type of thing. And by the way, Ross, do you carry a personal locator with you?
Yes.
You do. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, they're relatively easy now. I mean, they're not extremely expensive to purchase.
No, I have one downstairs in my basement that's about 4 feet high from the old days.
Yeah, from back then. Well, yeah.
I'm so sentimental about it. I felt so secure with it that I can't get rid of it.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, now you wear them on a string around your neck, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to carry by hand.
Yeah, well, the personal locator beacons are very, very highly recommended, and you know, you don't necessarily have to buy one. You can actually rent them now from the folks at Boat US.
Right. And the other thing too is because the bay is basically a shallow body of water, I think the average depth is about 18 and a half feet.
Right.
The waves build very, very fast. It doesn't take much to 15 minutes, they'll turn from calm to something that you never want to dream about.
Exactly.
And I've been in waves going down to toward the southern part of the bay. There were 8 to 10 feet high. If you're out there in a little rowboat, you're not going to make
good.
It.
No, I've been an 8 foot once, and that was on Lake Erie. And I got to tell you, it's not fun. We were actually trolling for salmon, and it just became impossible to stay on deck. I mean, you know, it was like, okay, we're done. Let's get out of here. You know,
right?
So even though the captain was game,
a
bunch of landlubbers from Pennsylvania weren't digging that 8 foot all that much. You know?
No, and the worst part of the bay generally is where the Potomac meets the bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you really, really have some real, real problems. So.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what I thought I'd throw into the mix. And
I appreciate that, Ross. Yes, sir. It's always good to remind folks about being safe out there in the water.
Yeah. And how's your daughter doing?
Heather, I spoke to her yesterday. She's doing well. She's driving. She's off the anti-seizure medication. She's dealing with an ear infection right now, and that doesn't seem to be anything involved with the with her brain surgery. But she's still conducting some speech therapy stuff and some memory therapy. She's she's in HR, so her therapist asked her to run through an interview with her, and she interviewed the therapist and the speech therapist, and said, as she said, you know, just I thought I was being interviewed for a job, but she's doing really, really well. She's in her, you know, part of her therapy is interacting with the folks that she worked with, and she did that the other day. So I seem to think that, she seems to think that she'll be able to go back to work in September, which to me is remarkable.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, she's still in my prayers and my wife's also. So,
I appreciate that very
God
much.
Bless.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. All right, brother. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
See you, Ross. Bye-bye. There he goes. Jim in Dundalk, good morning. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm just getting off work.
Okay.
Hey, yep. You were talking about deer earlier. I did see a baby fawn going into work. I worked at the Brandon Shores power plant here.
Yeah, where's the fawn work?
And anyway, reason I'm calling, you hear anything about the crabs? Is anybody catching any? I'm talking to a few guys I know, know a couple captains down in Miller's Island area, and they said one guy put 350 pots in and only come back with 2 bushels.
Yeah,
you know?
that seems to be about right. They're not in great abundance. You know, it depends on where you fish. I mean, some of the rivers are doing well. Some of the places are not. I can't predict it, and nobody can predict it, because as one of the DNR managers told me, it's like trying to manage bugs that crawl along the bottom of the bay. So
are they still allowed to catch females?
Not recreationally. Some limits on some of the commercial harvest too, but not.
I know growing up back in the 60s when my dad took my brothers and I and ran a boat down Miller's Island, you know, he said, you know, put the females back. That's how we repopulate. Why can't we do that now? You know what I mean?
Well, I understand, because the people want to buy females.
Yeah.
I mean, the picking houses pick females. The
right.
People want the crab meat from the females. The demand is so high for crabs and crab meat that they will take anything that's legal and be able to sell it. You know, and so, you know, there's a threshold. There's a threshold that the managers feel is comfortable that they can allow people to harvest certain numbers of females.
Okay.
And, your dad was probably smart for wherever you guys were crabbing. But the commercial guys, they feel they've got to make a living, and that's, as long as they're within the tolerance level, then they're going to allow them to catch females of certain size at certain times of the year.
Right.
So,
right.
You know. And
the other thing, the other reason I was concerned too, is I'm running a crab feast in August.
Well, yeah, you should be all right by the end of August. We'll have another shed in by then, and I think that there'll be plenty of crabs by the end of August. There usually is in the fall, as you know.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even though demand drops off, demand drops off and supply increases, and that seems to be about when the market starts to drop, is end of August, after Memorial Day. I'm sorry, after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Your prices are gonna plummet, because your crabs will be more abundant and demand will be less. I mean, it's simple economics. People right now don't mind spending the money that they've got to spend for a dozen or a bushel or whatever. But what they're doing is they're cutting back on the quality. So instead of paying $80 a dozen for number ones, they'll pay $80 for 2 dozen of mixed crabs, females and light crabs and everything else, and it's all the social part of the crab eating thing, you know.
Well, every time I run the crab feast, I try to run it right before the full moon.
Yeah, that's a good time. Sure.
That's how I always done it. I've been doing it for 15 years.
Well, there you go. So.
And I keep telling them this is my last year, and I keep doing it. I don't know why.
Because you're good at it, I guess, and they won't let you off the hook.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Good luck with the crabs. Okay. See ya. Bye-bye.
You.
There he goes. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Okay. I have a challenge for our listeners. Yes, indeed. I was at Papa John's Produce yesterday. I may even go down there today and get some corn. The corn I had at dinner last night was like what a cow might eat. I wasn't overly impressed, but you put a lot of butter and salt on it, you'll be all right. But at Papa John's, you know, their corn is just spectacular. I tell you, Papa John's farm. But here's the challenge. My friend Jim, the owner, who's always out in the field or doing something, everything other than waiting on customers, but he's always around, said to me, I'm not paying you for your commercials because nobody's told me that they heard it on your radio show. I said, okay, Jim, tomorrow I'm asking our listeners to seek you out when they go to Papa John's farm. You'll see Jim. Jim is, well, if you ask somebody there, where's Jim, they'll point him out to you. If you see somebody in a bright green John Deere mesh hat, that's Jim. So you go over and you say to that guy, Jim, I heard you on Alan Ellis's radio show today, and I'm here to buy some tomatoes and some corn because Alan said they're the best place you can go to get them. We want to make sure that Jim feels that his money is well spent on the Outdoors and Radio Show. Remember, this weekend, Papa John's, green John Deere hat, that's Jim. Summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy melons. That's right. Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm likes to steam their crabs with corn on the cob for a great family dinner. Hot corn with crab spice on it. Hey, if you enjoy your or even grilled. Oh, I like it on the grill, too. If you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super-sweet corn and the homegrown tomatoes are ready. There's squash and zucchini, peppers and onions. Boy, that yellow squash looked good yesterday. Green beans and cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and sweet watermelon, too. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97, exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Give them a call, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again is 410-969-8810. Visit Schillinger, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Ask for Jim. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
Hey, our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors are looking for you to come in the door today and check out the fishing and crabbing supplies that they've got right there. If you're going fishing, they've got the bait. If you're going crabbing, they've got the bait and the trout lines and the traps and all of the above. If you're going fishing, rods and reels and tackle, then the best thing is free advice. They also carry the Bubba Blade knives if you're interested in fillet and release on your fishing trip today. But my question is, are you ready for bow season? They've got bows and crossbows from folks at Parker, Barnett, Matthews, Mission, custom cut arrows, accessories, bow tuning. They'll set it up for you, and you'll be ready to go. So it's Chesapeake Outdoors, located at Route 50 East. That's just across the Bay Bridge, exit 39B. 39B, I was there last Sunday, as a matter of fact. Yep. Dominion Road. That's what you're looking for, that exit. You get off there behind the and just go around behind between the 7-Eleven and Exxon Station, bear around to your right. You'll see the big place right there as you get off the exit. Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Make sure you stop by when you're on your way past there, on your way to the Eastern Shore this week. That's right. That phone number again is 410-604-2500. Their friendly staff will be glad to assist you in finding just what you need for your next fishing and hunting adventure.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray on Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I just pulled my earphones out of the rig here. Let's see. Well, that was interesting. Okay. Something popped. Got her back. I'm good. Thank you, Brian, though, for your quick assistance. All right. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Just got an email from a friend who says he's going to fish for trout in North Carolina. So I said, my reply, which I'm about ready to launch, there we go, is if you're going trout fishing this time of year and you just want to chill out and don't make it too difficult on yourself, just get yourself a light spinning rod and a couple of inline spinners. I happen to like the MEPS. They don't make my favorite MEPS anymore, the Aglia with the long blade, but I still have a couple of them, and I like a nice little shiny spinner. And make sure you tie on a snap swivel on the end of your line so you don't twist your line all up with one of those inline spinners. And just toss it out there and reel it in, toss it out, reel it in, toss it out, and reel it in. It's just very relaxing fishing. And, you stand a good chance of having a trout come out and smack it. So that's pretty much it. So, if you're on vacation, you don't want a lot of complications. Just get a two-piece spinning rod and throw it in the vehicle. And, just a couple tips on line care if you're using monofilament line. Don't leave your rod and reel in your trunk or in the back of your truck or on the back deck of your car, the back windshield. The two enemies of monofilament line are heat and light. So what I recommend is you take your rod and reel in the house and keep it in a relatively sheltered place. I mean, you don't have to keep it in a deep freezer or put it in the basement or attic. Well, I wouldn't put it in the attic anyway, but put it in somewhere where it's relatively room temperature, maybe a little cooler if you have a place like that. Keep it away from the windows and keep the light off of the line. what happens is the sunlight and the heat breaks down the chemical compound in monofilament line and makes it weak. So, you know, if you've got a line that would test 6 or 8 pound test, all of a sudden it's, you know, 2 or 3 pound test, and, you know, you set the hook on a nice fish and goodbye. No fish. Or you get one up to the boat and it takes that sudden lunge down, you know, that last lunge for the depths, and it's gone. So it's happened to me. Trust me. And just make sure your line is in good condition. And I would certainly change that line if you fish a lot. If you fish a lot, I'd change that line every few months. You know, that line tends to get nicked up and torn up by just touching things in the water that you don't even see. And if you're a bass fisherman, you know what I'm talking about. You retie the last 6, 8, 10 feet of your line a couple times during the course of a day if you're fishing, you know, rocks and trees and boat docks and structure, because you get little micro chips and slices in your line, and all of a sudden, you know, that 7 pounder sucks in your bait. You pull the, you know, you set the hook and nothing's there, you know, and then you blame it on the barnacle rather than on your scarred up, beat up line. So keep your line fresh. Keep the last 6, 8, 10 feet, nice and fresh. Check it for nicks. You can do that very easily. You can run your line across your tongue. Some people carry a piece of nylon stocking or some kind of microfiber with them, and they just run that down their line, and if they very lightly, and the line where it's nicked and that type of thing will snag up. I mean, even an old polyester shirt of some kind can help you with that. You can feel those nicks and cuts in your line. So, that, you know, just I'm just trying to keep you from losing a fish. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We need to hear from you. Let me check the email here. Okay, there's that one. I replied to that. And okay. Yes, John B., you do have to pay attention, don't you? That's right. well, let's see. Did I give the number, Brian? Did I? Should I give it again? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 800-922-6680 if you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area. I had a great meeting last weekend with the Maryland Fur Trappers Board of Directors. I was talking with them about the new organization, the Maryland Hunting Coalition, which we've invited all of you to send us your email if you're interested. And just a brief review. The Maryland Hunting Coalition is founded on the three leg principle. One of those legs is information, getting information to hunters about the issues that affect them, whether that's a regulation or legislation or something that's newsworthy that they should be aware of. You know, some threats to hunting by anti-hunting groups, and they are abundant and they are out there. That's information. Number two is action. Information, number one. Number two is action. Maryland Hunting Coalition will, on its website, advise people how to act when a threat is, you know, detected. We're like the malware in your computer. We'll let you know when a threat to hunting comes up and what you can do about it. You know, you can write to your delegate. You can write to your county council. You can write to the the committee that's going to hear the legislation, or you can write to a wildlife manager that you'd like to make a comment or a salient point to. We'll give you the tools to do that. We'll give you the tools, you know, sample letters and things like that. First and foremost, though, before you try to act or interact with a member of the General Assembly in particular, or even a national representative that may come into play here on certain issues, you must be registered to vote. The first thing that a delegate or a senator in our General Assembly does when they see your name on a comment is they open up their laptop, they go to the voter registration rolls, and if they don't see your name on there, they immediately delete the email. So it doesn't matter how salient a point you can make. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you believe or, you know, whether or not you're going to threaten the guy or not threaten him or try to engage him. If you're not registered to vote, you don't have a voice, especially in our General Assembly here in Maryland. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And then the third stool, the third leg of that stool is going to be to send an advocate to Annapolis to work for hunters and you know their issues and their needs, to send a lobbyist, basically, to Annapolis to do what needs to be done for hunters, for pro-hunting legislation and to block anti-hunting legislation. And that's the point of the whole Maryland Hunting Coalition. Well, the trappers seem to be very supportive. I heard back from them. We've got some wide support from across the state from a number of sportsmen's groups. And the good news is we did receive our notice yesterday from the Internal Revenue Service that we've been recognized as a corporation in Maryland, and I have my federal ID number. On Monday, I will be sending the application and the check to the Internal Revenue Service and applying for nonprofit status. So things are working out well. If you're interested in joining, it's no charge. It's a free membership to get the newsletter and to get involved and get informed. And it's simply today you send your email to Ellis, my last name, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com. And we're making a master list of emails, and we'll be sending out the news and the press releases and that type of thing to everybody on our email list. So Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com and Maryland Hunting Coalition, or MHC. All right, let's talk to Roy in White Marsh. Thanks for calling, Roy. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
I was just listening to you about the fishing rods at all.
Yeah.
My kids were little, and we went out quite, often. I had an old gun case, and
yeah,
put all my rods and stuff in there, and my other stuff, and zip. When we got ready to go, we just grab up that gun case and.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Like a shotgun case.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Larger one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought maybe I'd throw that in there.
Well, that's nice. I mean, that's a dual purpose for that. You protect your shotgun in the winter and your fishing rod in the summer, and you just zip it shut, and everything's in there. It's nice and tight. The lines protect. That's good. I like that idea.
Anyway, I was listening to you about the crabs. It looks like they're just slow can be.
They're slow coming on. That's right. No question.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's been out a number of times, and he's got like, if he got 2 dozen, he was doing good on trot line, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, look.
Hopefully they'll come around.
Gotcha.
I enjoy listening to you, even though I'm too old to do any more of the things I used to do.
Well, I'm glad you're out there listening, Roy. And
sold my boot. I broke my heart. My wife and I had done so much crabbing in that boot over the 40 years. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But
yeah, well, hey.
Hey, you know.
Still kicking in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
Al.
All right, Roy. Thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that tip on the shotgun case. That's a good one. All right, buddy. See ya. There he goes. Hey, that's the voice of experience right there. Tim and Carney, good morning. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
I'm all right. What's up?
Hey, we got some perch biting in a Patapsco finally.
Ah, good. Any size to them?
Actually, we have between the guys that I know that go out and do it, we've caught them between a few small ones here and there. Had one my brother caught. Was 10.5 inches, and he could hardly hold it across the back.
Nah, that's nice.
And then a friend of mine, Jerry, and his wife were out, and they've had a few instances where they've caught 13-inch fish.
That's nice. That's a citation right there.
Yeah, those are beast kind of white perch.
Yeah, they are.
And
cool.
The tandem rigs are doing okay this year, but my brother's been, even in like 10 feet of water, throwing his inline spinners and catching them, and quarter-ounce rattle traps are catching some whoppers.
Wow, cool. I've never really adapted to the rattle trap thing. I've never really learned that technique for anything, you know. I mean, I've thrown them a few times. It's just a tough technique for me to learn because I'm always throwing something else, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing is what you got confidence in, but once those big fish start turning onto it, some of the other things get put down real quick.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
And there are also a few bass biting in Middle River, believe it or not.
I do believe it.
I found some.
Congratulations. You're a rare bird when you find them out there now, this time of year. So.
Yeah. What we got, Alan, is in some of the outer coves in Middle River, you've got some grass growing in between the piers and gives them some good habitat.
Gotcha.
You know, they can either be under the pier if it's really sunny, or they can be in the grass just milling around looking for minnows if it's cloudy, overcast, or early.
Top water, baby. That's my thing on those.
Yeah, I have tried that, but the areas that are just not eating like a frog or a little popper.
Yeah, well, a lot of action there. Yeah. Yep.
I've been going into it with the wacky rig Senko worm or a crawfish flipped around the pier piling.
Oh, you get it down in the grass, and it looks like something they're going to eat. They're going to eat it. So.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, brother. Yep. Appreciate it, Tim.
I sent my email out already to the Hunting Alliance to be on your email list.
The Maryland Hunting Coalition. Yep, that's all right, Matt. I see your email just showed up now, so we're good.
Be proud to be on that list and receive everything that's going on.
Good.
Defending the hunters' rights in the state.
I appreciate that, and we are facing some challenges. So.
Yes, sir.
All right, Tim, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye. Hey, Vince, and hang on there. We got to take a short break, and we'll get right to you. Right back to you. We need your call, and we appreciate you hanging on. But it's time for me to tell the folks about the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. Now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Yep, to the Diamond Jim. He's a big old tagged rockfish. Well, I don't know how big. He's legal, let's put it that way. And he's worth $20,000. Yep, Diamond Jim is swimming in the Chesapeake just waiting to take your bait. And Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but they're even worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, you call that number on the tag, you might just have captured a $20,000 rockfish. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for the Angler's Award. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and you know what? Prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour, too. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Citation Fish Program. Again, that's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, Clyde's Sports Shop. If you're going crabbing or fishing, I stopped to see those boys this week, and everybody was talking about the fishing, how good the fishing is, and how good, well, not how good the crabbing was, but how good the fishing is, and hunting season coming up, and all the bows and arrows that they've got ready to go. They've got the G5. They've got the Parker bows and crossbows. They've got the Coda bow crossbows, and much, much more. So stop by Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. And make sure you check out the full fishing selection. And by the way, you can always call the fishing hotline, too. That's 247-FISH. That's a phone number, 247-3474, 247-FISH, 410, of course. For Clyde Sports Shop, free fishing hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And make sure you check out their selection of fishing and crabbing and bait, archery, and firearms. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Crossing the highway late last night, it didn't look left and it didn't look right. Didn't see the station wagon car. Skunk got squashed and there you are.
That's so tragic.
Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. You got a dead skunk in the middle of the road. And he's stinking the high, high you long.
I reran one the other day. Oh, yeah. Not even sure which tire hit it. But No rose.
Roll up your windows and hold your nose.
All you can do.
You don't have to look and you don't have to see. You can't feel it in your old factory.
All right. Everybody can sing the chorus at home. All right. We've got calls to take. Vince in Chestertown, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad.
What's up?
Got one for you here.
Let's All right.
see what your thoughts are on this.
All right.
In the Kent County paper that comes out every Thursday,
yes.
there is a gentleman who writes an article every week.
Okay.
This week he wrote about how DNR regulates everything properly, but they don't regulate the rockfish properly because there's so many of them, they're eating up the crap.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
my yeah. thought is this.
All right, go ahead.
Part of their food source, the menhaden, has been depleted.
Right.
But everybody, he points to the fact that there's so many rockfish out there this year. But they're basically fishing off of one class of fish from about 6 years ago.
Correct.
And I don't think everybody gets the big picture. Maybe they ought to think about, and this is going to be a real sweet one with their listeners, maybe they ought to think about stopping the catch and release on the flats in the spring, and I'm not so sure about trophy season.
Okay, well, Vince, I will tell you that everything right now is under consideration. Everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everything. So, you know, stay tuned. When we have news, we'll bring you news. But I would look for some changes in both of those seasons next year, quite frankly.
That makes sense.
There you go. I would look for those changes, and I don't have any details. I have had conversations that I can't delve into right now, but I will tell you this, that everything is being looked at. So, you know.
Then maybe we'll get some of the stuff.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Look, I'm not. I think in general, I think the department does a pretty good deal on getting news information out. But there's so much more they could tell people. I mean, their communications department could really, really keep people more informed than they do. And, you know, that's just a personal opinion and a personal observation. I'd like to know more.
Now, when there's money involved, big money.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes they're reluctant to release it.
I understand. I understand 100%. You got it. So, all right, Vince.
All right, Dallas.
Thanks for the call. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. There goes Vince. And Gitta, good morning. How are you? Sorry it took so long to get to you. Gitta? Hello. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thank you.
I listen to you off and on.
Yes.
On Saturdays.
Sure.
Now, I have a problem with Maryland law that when you have horses, for instance, when we had the 12 inches of snow.
Yes.
I know of 3 horses that have no shelter.
Mm-hmm.
When it's 95 degrees, they have no shelter or
mm-hmm.
anything. And there's nothing law-wise you can do. And I think that is very sad when you don't take care of your animals in that respect, right? No tree, even.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but
I understand. I mean, you don't like to see those animals mistreated. Nobody likes to see their animals mistreated, whether it's, you know, whether it's an animal we consider as a pet, a domestic animal, a farm animal, or anything like that, you know?
No, this is pets.
Yeah, I understand.
Pets, if you want them, then you need to take care of them.
You need to take care. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know?
I grew up on a farm, and I know something like that doesn't happen in Germany.
No, you're right. People respect their critters in Germany. That's right.
I want you to know that I enjoy your show, and I learn a lot, even though I'm not a hunter or a fisherman or a person like that, but I raised 3 guys that were hunting,
and my husband was hunting and
fishing and stuff, you know. So,
sure.
So I'm very familiar, and I made a rule, if you shoot it, you're going to eat it.
That's right,
you know?
Exactly.
And so. I know one time they brought a groundhog home, you know.
How did that work out?
Well, we ate it. I mean, rules are rules. You
That's
live
right.
by rules,
yeah.
right?
Was it good? Was it good?
It wasn't bad. If you cook it right, it's okay.
Yep, that's exactly right. I enjoy it.
You keep the show up. I think young people learn a lot.
I appreciate that, Gitta.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, Gitta, do you want to hold on the line and I'll get your phone number? Maybe we can help you out with that horse thing.
No, that's settled. Because I did something about it.
Uh-oh.
I had to go to court. They got me for trespassing.
Oh, boy. Did you eat what you shot?
We ate what we shot, all the time. I ate many a deer, you know, when my husband, he is deceased. But,
sure.
You know.
All right,
but it is great that you have the show, and I think it's interesting when people call in with their comments. Thanks a lot,
Thank
Alan.
You, Gitta. I appreciate it. Have
bye
a great
bye.
Weekend. Bye-bye. Hey, Ray, hang on there. We'll get to you first, or call back right after the news, and we'll get right to you. I'm anxious to talk to you about your question. All right, folks, we're breaking for the news. We'll be right back in 5 or 6 minutes. I'm Alan Ellis. It's time for me to say get out, stay out.